On a trip like this, you see all the stuff out at the Keys, and you think, oh, wow, that looks a lot of fun out there snorkeling around and watching the dolphins and, you know, and all of this stuff. But what you don't realize is back there, those were very brief moments in a very long and busy week, and the weather is just, it's brutal. You forget having the time we all spent there. I told Maria, I said, how did we do this? Because that week that the team was there, was so hot and humid. Those pictures just don't do justice to it, and the mustiness in the air, and you're just constantly sweating. It is a real test for deodorant. I don't know why these people that put all these great commercials out, they should go there and see if this stuff works, because then you'll really know. But so I don't want to take a lot of time. I'd rather have the team share with you guys. You guys have heard us talk about it so many times. But what I just wanted to just read some words that Paul wrote to you for what this meant for those of us that had lived there and then got to go back. And I just want to read it. I'm not going to exegete it and tear it all apart. But this is Paul writing to a group of people that were very, very precious to him. It was a church that held a special place in his heart because it was a church that had come alongside him in all that he was involved in, and all of the journeys that he made, and they had helped support, they had helped, you know, provide personal, financial, material needs for Paul. And so this church became very precious to him. And it's the church that was that Paul initiated and actually started with two ladies in a home in a place that they knew as Philippi. And this church got behind what Paul was doing and became very precious to him. And Paul writes a letter back to that church some years after having been there. That letter we call Philippians. And so really, having been a missionary and served in the field for the time that we were there, when you read this, there's a real sense of it's a missions letter. It's a newsletter sent out to explain what's going on and to encourage those that are behind you in your ministry. And so having said all of that, it's always been special to me, and especially this last week, because though we certainly missed you guys, and I hope you understand that, but there's something about being with those people. You got to see, the name wasn't there, but Pastor Juan out in Santa Teresa and Gids, there wasn't stuff with Felice, but all of the other guys and these families that were so much a part of who we are. And so it was very difficult to be there because we were in a sense going home, and their family. In fact, that shot with Marie was with our daughter that we had adopted, Zelda, and that little dude with the funky little green glasses, that's our grandson, Josiah. So it was very difficult. And you want to be here, but you also want to be there, and you just can't. We're not the Lord. So in thinking about all this and reflecting on all of this, I want to read Paul's words because they speak not just for our hearts now, Marie and I and Juan and Karen and Liz and Trav and Daniel and all of the others that actually lived there, but for now the team, because they understand now when we share these things what we mean. And this is what Paul said to the church at Philippi. First chapter, starting in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance, every team. Every time I think of you guys, I thank God. Always and in every prayer of mine, I make requests for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. That was the day that he entered the city and began to shared the Lord. The ladies responded and they began the church there in their homes. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then a famous verse that we all know. We forget about the verses that come after it and before it. But this is set within that context. And I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a credible verse for me and has been for many, many years in my life. And now with all of this stuff, it's a big part of that. And in verse 8, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And so our affection there was for you folks. And now here we see these faces and these people, and it just, again, it brings great joy to your heart, like the situation with John, but a great sadness as well that you know, we just don't get to spend the time with them. You guys would love these people. I can assure you. They all know about you guys. We all told stories, even made some up about you. But no, I'm just kidding. But they know you guys by name, and you know them by name, and now you've been able to put a face on it. And for Marie and I and the Dorados, I can assure you that for us to have now a group, a small group, having gone and catching catching the heart that we have for these people, it is such a blessing for me, in particular, to know that God has done this amazing thing and has sort of connected the dots for us. So before I dribble on, I'm going to go ahead and call the team up. And I'm just going to get back out of the way, unless, of course, you'd like me to continue to keep going, but it will cost you $25. No, I'm just kidding. No. So let's go ahead and bring the team on up, and then I'll just step back. And they're a little nervous now. Some of them are a little nervous. Some of them are named Ginger. They're really nervous. I'm trying to make it easy on you, Ginger. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to shut up and get out of the way, because Ginger told me I have to shut up, so I'm going to leave. So let's go ahead, you guys, come on up. Just make your way forward here, and I'll slide back here like King's guitar.
Come on up.
Well, good morning. As you guys all know, that my color is still back here. But like Rick said, it was warm and humid, and it was wonderful. You know, I feel like when I stepped out of that airplane, that I was back home. You know, and it just feels good. Just being there, that God's taking you back to that home. But I just want to thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to take a short-term trip out there to see our friends and families out there. I thank also you guys for being a part of that team, even though you guys didn't go, but you did go. And I want to thank all of you for your supports and prayers to keep us safe. And you know how much that means, that seeing the family again, co-workers, the school, just working alongside of them again, felt great. Even though we were pouring sweat to death. But it was good. Picking up those hammers and saws again, doing the projects. As Rick mentioned earlier, we were there 5 years before, and it was wonderful. You hear the horror stories about bugs and critters and snakes. Once you're there, that'll gets behind your mind. You know, you don't look for those things anymore. You know, but I did.
I did every night.
What?
For Sherry, went to my bed every night.
But the team. You know, the team that the newcomers, they were all worried about, because we kind of scared them to death before we kind of prepared them for the worst. But through from us being there, we knew what it was going to be. So. But for Ginger and Rick and Sherry, from our church, it was a blessing having them there. Even though they were concerned about the weather, the situation, God blessed it. And you can hear from them when they share a little bit from you. And also from Maranatha, San Marcos, the other team. You guys know my son Daniel. And there's two other guys named David and Leo. They were also kind of worried about it, the two guys. But once they got there, the first day we got up, had breakfast, devotions, you know, and the second day after we were there, they said, thank you for bringing us and letting God just share, see the beauty. The pictures here don't do justice of what God is beauty out there in the jungle. It is a jungle. Don't make a mistake about it. That is okay just to walk in. You got to be prepared. And I thank God for preparing us for that. And again, thank you all for being part of the team. Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank all of you also for the support you gave us before and during, and the prayer that we received while we were down there. I, one, was had total anxiety about going down there. I do like to travel a lot, but for some reason, Satan did his work on this trip. But like Juan said, once we got there and the prayers and my wife with the scriptures verses she gave me for each day on fear and anxiety, it cleared that up real quick. What I found down there was something different than I expected, I guess. I don't know what I expected. I know I hadn't done anything like this before. I've taken all my life. You know, I've been blessed and my life has been good. But I'd never stepped out of that box and gone, and I decided to start giving back and start to do those types of things and maybe start giving some of myself back to the Lord. And this was my first step out of the box. And what I found down there were people that humbled me in their faith, in their... I didn't think this was going to happen. Their faith and their strength and their faith was just beyond anything I have. And their teachers are working at 50% of what the scale is down there in the country, which is nothing. You know, it's like $300 Belize or $600 Belize a month, which is about $150 to $300 a month. And they can get $1,500 to $1,800 a month working on the marketplace. But they choose to work there to serve the Lord. And they're just amazing, amazing people. And it was just a joy to work with those folks down there and meet the people and just to get a feel for what they live with. So I'd like to thank you all, and I'm really glad for the experience. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. And I just don't know where the Lord's going to lead me in this. I have different skill sets that I can use, but whether it's swinging a hammer or helping them raise money, I don't know where that is. But well, we're all excited about working with them. And I'd like to thank you again. Thank you.
Wow. gosh, God just, he did the most amazing things down there. And it would take hours to tell you all just the mighty things he did. But the people down there, when we listen to Liz and Rick and Juan and tell us about the people, it's all true. It's these people glorify God in ways that the words can't even tell you. You have to go down and see it for yourselves. The simplicity of their faith, they have very little, but they are so grateful for the little bit that they have. And, you know, as a, I don't know if you'd call it an American, but, you know, I'm kind of addicted to my conveniences and the things that we have. And when we have little inconveniences and little trials, it just seems to be the end of the world, and it just ruins your whole day. And many of these people that I talked to, the way they looked at trials, and when we're talking trials and even tragedies, they, as one young gentleman told me, he said, it is necessary for our growth. So they just have a very simple, complete faith and trust in the Lord. And it was just so moving and inspiring. And that's what affected me the most. Out of, you know, there was, like I said, there was so much going on down there. One of the other things is, you know, we did have three gentlemen from another church, and I got to know others from our church that I didn't know very well. And it was amazing that from the very first day was actually a lot of, you know, travel. And we talked and got to know each other. And just by the second day, it felt like we knew each other for the longest time. And it was... We would discuss it during the entire trip. We're all very amazed that God just blessed the team, that we work so well together. And we left as just best friends and very close, and we'll continue to be so. But the glory of the Lord down there is just something that I hope you all, if we take more trips down there, that I wish you could all go and experience it. It was just amazing. Human words can't give it justice. So I'll use the words of the Holy Spirit who inspired Apostle Paul to read this. This is the closest I can come to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ.
All right, I'm going to try to get through this without getting emotional. As you guys know, I was there with my husband for 2 years, wherever he is, and my family for 2 years. And just to go back was just a huge wave of emotion for me. And just like my dad said, it's a second home to me and to our family. And just to be able to go on this trip was such a blessing. So I want to thank all of you who allowed us to go. Thank you very much. And I, too, tend to stress out and have anxiety and all kinds of issues. But I definitely felt your prayers from the moment we left at 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday. I had just this wave of peace over me, and I know the rest of the team felt that, too. So thank you. As far as the ministry, TCA, I was blown away. It just how much they've been through in these last few years and just how faithful they are to God and to do his will and seek his will for the school there and for the staff. And just to see how humble they were despite the circumstances that they were in. They've gone through a couple of rough years, so just to see them still press on towards that goal that God would have for them was amazing. Ginger and I got to actually work with some kids and Sherry, too. While the guys did all the work, we got to do the fun stuff. Just kidding. No. We were actually able to step into some of the classrooms and prepare some crafts for the kids, which they absolutely loved. And it was just such a blessing to us just to see how happy these kids were over the littlest things. Just we made little foam visors, and they thought, you would have thought you gave them $1 million. They're walking around telling Ginger, thank you for my hat, thank you for my hat, and wearing them. So it was just a blessing. And for me to be able to go back into the classroom and see my kids that are grown up that I taught in kindergarten, and now they're in junior high and high school, and just to see how God's worked on them in their lives is a real blessing, just to see the fruit in their lives. And I went down thinking they're still little kids, and they're taller than me. I have to look up to them now. So it was just a blessing to see that and just the fruits that they're showing and revealing to others around them and their families, I know for sure. And we got to do PE one day with the kids that I used to teach, which was also just such a blessing to be able to get out there and not be their teacher, you know, and not that I didn't enjoy it and God didn't bless my time there, but just to be able to be a friend to them and to just see where they're at and to be able to just hang out with them was really a blessing. They have a special place in my heart that I can't even describe. Sorry. So I just want to say that God showed me when I was down there just being back, you get so into the motion of things and the day-by-day swing of things, and you tend to forget or push God aside. And being down there again just revealed, you know, how much I've let distractions get in my way. And I was just blown away by just how much God showed me there. And I can't even describe it. I'm sorry, I'm really bad speaking in front of people, but just the simplicity, like Rick said, that they have, and just that humbleness that they have, and just to go back, and it's always refreshing when you go down there. It's always changing your life more and more. God's changing your life every time you go down, and it seems like every time I grow more and more closer to Christ. And I just pray that as I'm back here, I continue that and not be distracted. So thank you.
Hello, my name is Ginger, and I'm a sinner. No, no, that's Leo, right?
That's Leo.
I'm up here shaking in my slippers. That's what they call the shoes there. Everything you slip on your foot is a slipper. And he gave me a glimpse of what the kingdom's going to be like. We're going to all be together, all these people. And he showed me that salvation, we are not to take it lightly. It's special, and it's a gift. And I guess I'm a grace abuser, but he showed me that we need to show others him, and we need to glorify him in all we do. And there's unity down there, and they do glorify him. These people have nothing, but they give everything for God, to magnify God and glorify God. And I'm a spoiled brat, so anyway, Sherry checked my bed for bugs, and I'm laying there the first night hot, and I can't sleep, and she's moving my fan here. Do you feel it? No. Do you feel it now? No. She's like, well, it's working. I said, I don't feel it. And Liz is moving her fan. Well, Ginger, can you feel mine? And anyway, it was just the hottest night, and then the next day, he took me to the little boy that my family's had the honor of sponsoring for, I think, it's been about 7 years, and I got to meet this little boy, and I went to his house. They live in a thatch house with nothing, no electricity, no running water, no fans, you know, and I was complaining, oh, it's awful how he... Our heart is wicked beyond everything. But, you know, a verse that kept coming to mind to me is, as he took me out of my comfort zone and broke me more and more, is that Philippians, I wrote it down, but it's, I can do nothing. God can do all things. Let me read it, because I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. It's not me. He took me out of my comfort zone with a little girl working with math, and they're doing the Becca curriculum. And she'd been through some struggles, and they had to pull her from the class, and they were trying to tutor her individually. And they asked someone to go work with her through the week and pray for her, and we're all standing there, and I'm thinking, okay, the only subject I could do was PE. That's the only subject. The reason I passed school is because my math teacher was a coach, and, I, you know. And so, you know, Marie goes, well, I'll go work in the kitchen, and they needed someone to do this. And Liz had crafts, and the guys, you know, Sherry was going to work with the guys, and she knew tons about everything. So I thought, okay, God. I said, I'll do it. So I go down there, and he shows me it's math. And it's times tables, and it's, you know, the three-digit times tables, and, you know, they're supposed to have them memorized. You don't use the tallying system, he tells me. You don't give him the answer, he tells me. And I'm sitting there going, we're sitting there. And I'm like, well, what do you do then? I mean, you don't give him the answer. You don't tally. You don't. Anyway, and then he showed me. He put me there to encourage her, show her love, to help her feel comfortable, and that she was loved, because she'd been through a tough situation at home. She'd been taken out of her home because of abuse by her father, and I was just, he took me out of that comfort zone, and because I knew nothing, and he used me for that. So anyway, he's amazing. God is amazing, and I just don't want to take salvation for granted anymore. I want to show others that we're all going to be up there together, and it's not to be taken lightly. So, anyway, thanks for your support, everything. You gave money, encouragement. You bought crafts. You bought burritos. You've all this stuff. So, anyway, love you guys.
Yeah, because I'm forget what you guys said.
She says, oh, you're going to be so spiritual bringing a book. I'm like, no, those are all your words. It was great. And I thank all my supporters because, of course, I wouldn't have been able to go without you. I got to spend the first week with my new grandchild that I'd never seen, as you've seen on the picture, and he's beautiful. Calls me Granny, not sure I like that name. Sounds old. But that was great. I think one of my main ministries that God has given me is to encourage and persuade Christians, baby Christians, older Christians, to press on in Christ. Never stay the same. Keep going, keep going. And so when we went there, that's exactly what I got to do, besides spend time with my loved ones, is to encourage, and to tell them to press on. Don't just stand still. And Pastor Gideon and May Lynn, of course, Gideon is Rick's protege. You know, he came to the Lord under Rick's teaching, and Rick groomed him and taught him and raised him up to do exactly what he's doing right now. And so it was a blessing to see that the fruit that we did, how many years ago? 12, whatever it was, that it's remaining. And to see his wife step up and begin to lead a Bible study and grow these ladies in the Lord, and to see others that had fallen away and through her ministry has drawn them back into the fold was just unbelievable. And so that was really great. And then to see this team, to see this team work together like it did was awesome. You know, you've got this one trying to keep everybody moving, go, 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 go. You know, he's really, we got to get there. One goes, what's the hurry, man? You know, so you got two extreme here. And then you got Sherry, she's, you know, the servant that's just, you know, let me go get your clothes, let me get the bugs out, let me do this, you know, and all the servant. Of course, we have our control freak right here who wants everything lined up in order, and yet the graciousness of God just displayed her. And Ginger, our encourager, that it's okay, everything's, you know, and, you know, the smile on her face and all of that, you know, and so it was just amazing for me to get a glimpse of our fellowship down there in the midst of being uncomfortable and where we used to be, and then the devotions that these people gave was amazing. You know, none of them do any teaching, but what God laid on their hearts was awesome. I mean, they taught, every one of them, it had to do with faith. And that was our biggest thing. And Sherry's words were, the smallest of faith heals. And to remember that. And then Juan, he taught. And I like what he said about true faith in God will bring commitment through all circumstances, is what he gave us. And so to watch our people there minister to me and spur me on even more in my faith is what I took home. So I can't say thank you enough to all of you who sent all of us and all of you who ministered to me while we were there. So thank you to everybody.
Oh, no, apparently I'm getting left alone. So we come from Belize, right? It's Creole for says we came from Belize. I know it doesn't sound like it. And they also walk around going, everything all right, man? Yeah, it's all right. Well, you know, I don't want to add to this and turn this into a sermon. I guess we'll probably get out of here a little early. Like, there's a rarity, huh? But I just... You know, I want to say as you know, the person. And by the way, in case you didn't know, the guy in the orange shirt, that was the short guy on the sign. That was him, just in case you were confused. So, what a pleasure to see God at work in his people. I think the thing that you take away from everyone is that you do something like this. It's easy to talk about being used by the Lord, but it's quite another thing to actually allow it to happen, because oftentimes he asks us to do things, go places, be involved in things that we would prefer not to be, because, his ministry. And I was listening to Ginger share about the little girl, and she did touch on it there at the end, that this little girl's life is, there's been abuse and things, and so she had been isolated basically for her own protection. That, from their perspective, for ours, it probably could have been done better. But they had her in this little room when we first walked in and saw her. What was her name? Bernadette. I was thinking Brittany, and I knew that wasn't right. And so she was in this little tiny, I don't know, 5x5 room, sitting there doing her work with no air, no fan, no nothing. And it was just like, oh my gosh. And it was interesting, as I listened to Ginger share about this, the multiplication tables, because don't feel lonesome. I couldn't do 2-column multiplication, let alone 3. But the funny thing is, for what she did there, and for the guys that did the construction. Oh, and by the way, you see that blood blister? Right there? Yeah, it's there. I'll show you. No, it's funny. Let me share. I'd be wise, because I want to share everybody. But my brother, when he used to come down and bring teams down from his church. Now, my brother's a total academic guy. I'm not kidding. He doesn't know which end of the hammer drives the nail. Not kidding. But he always managed, while the team was working, he would be, you know, studying and stuff and getting stuff ready, because his role was the pastors and to training and stuff like that. But he would always manage to sneak out while the job was going on and just happen to pick up a hammer at a time when someone was taking a picture. So it would always look like he was part of the team doing the work, when in reality, that's the first time he touched the hammer the whole stinking time. So I was messing around that, because this week, like him, Juan had plenty of guys, and there were some, you know, Belizeans working and stuff. So my role was to do stuff in the room. But the one day, the last day we were there, I was out there working with the guys, at least for a little while, because that part of it was done. I kid you not, the first day, within the first half hour of driving a couple of nails, I hit my stinking thumb. It was the only time I did anything physical, and I hit my thumb. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. So I guess my role has reversed. Now I'm supposed to stay inside. But anyway, so with what Ginger did, and with Rick and Sherry, and you saw the thing there, and you look at that, and you saw the big mess with the tubs, that she had in the storage room and all that stuff. That stuff was so chaotic in there. I can't tell you how many times we straightened that out, and they just keep doing it again. It's hard to understand. But so when you see that, and you can't grasp the heat and the humidity and reaching into those things when you don't know the critters. And the part that Liz was talking about being with the kids and to see, and it was so cool. A lot of times we would go places, and the students that she had, and she would take the time. And, you know, when you're sitting in a hot van in Belize and stuff like that, at that time it's kind of like, well, I wish you'd kind of hurry, because it's hotter than crud out here. But at the same time, the blessing was, here she is taking the time to go out and visit, you know, to see Juan now he's back there, dude. You freak me out, man. He moves like a cat. Anyway, to see him with the Belizeans, which are so much a part of his life, and Santiago, who was the guy that the cook's house there that we ate at, you saw there, and these were the guys that Juan made. So anyway, the point is, we all had the little jobs, you know, the things that we were required to do, and the funny thing is, when you're there, you think about all of that, and you think about the math, and you think about straightening out the cabinets, and you think about keeping everything organized, and seeing all the people and working with the guys and stuff. And what we were trying to drive home to the team is that what Bernadette is going to remember is not how you helped her with her multiplication tables, but that you sat when you talked with her. That's what she'll remember. She'll never forget that. She'll probably, like the rest of us, forget her multiplication tables, right? Because we all do. But she will not forget Miss Jinja. She won't. And they'll be thankful. Or Sherry, I don't know where she. Oh, there you are, Sherry. They'll see all of that work. But what they'll remember is the personal side of Miss Sherry and how you were there and part of the chapels and all of the other stuff and all of the things that were going on. See, what we don't understand as Americans, we're so task oriented, right? You don't realize this until you go to a third world country. We got this to do, we got this job, and we've got this many days, and da 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 da. And what we don't understand is that these people are more time-oriented. And what matters to them is not what's getting done or doesn't get done, it's that you hung out with them. That's what they remember. And so all of a sudden, all those names, and I didn't mean to leave anybody off, but you get the idea. All of this, and as they talk about this in the future, those were the things that they'll remember. Yes, they'll benefit from the cleaned up, straightened rooms and in the screened patio and stuff, but what they'll remember is that Calvary Chapel Mesquite, as well as Maranatha there in San Marcos, California, those three guys, that they came and they got to eat with us. And they got to bring us iguana, and they got to bring us gibnut, which is a big rat, right? We eat the rat. It was good. It was really good, actually. Yeah, it tastes like chicken. That's what they say. Everything tastes like chicken. If you keep telling yourself that, it actually does taste like chicken, but it really doesn't taste like chicken. It tastes like gibnut. But anyways, you got all of that, and so those people right now, and they're going through this, and they're thinking about all of that, and to see their... just that experience. And for us, you know to look and you watch the expressions in the Belizeans' faces, because some of them are very expressive, others not so much. I don't know if you saw in Santa Teresa, Pastor Juan, was the first one that God opened the door for me to begin the leadership training with, because he was the medic in the village. He's the community health worker, and I had gone there actually to set up a medical outreach there. So turned out he was the pastor, and lo and behold, all the community health workers for the most part are the pastors of the churches, obviously because they care. So that's how this thing all started. But his name is Juan Ishim. And so we went out, and you saw it there with the kids and stuff at Juan's church, the little Trinity Baptist church. And understand that this is Belize. It's not like here. The Baptist thing doesn't mean anything there. Only in America does it mean anything. Sad. But anyways, so we were there, and Pastor Juan is very quiet, and he's very subdued, and he's very respectful, but he's brilliant with the word. He's amazing. His knowledge of God's word is just amazing. But our group had Daniel, of all people. This was probably Liz, but they had a little spinner thing. I can't remember how this all went, but they had to spin this little thing. And then depending on what you landed on, you had to get an egg or lose an egg. I don't know what the deal was. But if you got the one thing, you had to do the chicken dance. This was hilarious. And so they're explaining to the kids. Now, these are Belizean. These are Kekchi. This is the Maya. You can see the change from PG, where it was very Carib. When you go further out into the bush, it goes all into Kekchi, okay? So you move into a tribal cultural setting. So this is out with the tribes now and with the Kekchi. And so they're not really sure about us big white folk, to say the least. So they're explaining the game to them, and all of these little kids, and Pastor Juan and I are sitting in the back, and so they're explaining how to do the chicken dance. And so Liz says, well, does everybody know how to do the chicken dance? And they're like, No. And so she goes, well, here, Daniel, explain it. So Daniel goes, what the fuck? He's doing this thing, walking all over the thing. Well, first of all, I almost died as well. I've seen Daniel do a lot of things, but the chicken thing ain't one of them. It still kind of makes me get chills. But anyway, so I was like, oh my gosh. And I looked at Pastor Juan. He was about to pass out. He was laughing so hard. And I just thought, this is what it's about. See, that's what they're going to remember. Daniel and that goofy chicken dance. Because we could never get them to do it. Only a couple of them tried it, and it wasn't really a very good attempt. But that's, you see, that's the thing. And I think for our group as well, you know what? We didn't get to complete the construction project because you just ran out of time. So there was like a corner of it and stuff like that. But you know what? They don't care. Because they got to eat with us. They got to watch us do chicken dances. They got to watch us minister to these kids who their home is absolute tragedy. They got to see all of that. And the teachers, these kids for us, like Liz already pointed out, we got there. These were kids in the school when we ministered there. And now those kids, who basically you wanted to string up by their thumbs because they were highly irritating kids, like any other kids, right? That's one thing that doesn't change no matter what culture you're in. Kids. Kids. They're always the same. Yeah. And so these kids, Eddie and stuff like that, I remember sometimes you just want to throttle this little dweeb. And now he's a teacher. So it's really very, it's a very strange, I don't know. You, the people that were there know what I'm talking about. So I don't want to belabor the point, but yeah, right. Should have stopped 10 minutes ago then, right? But anyway, so that's what this is all about. Now, a lot of the thing was, well, we shouldn't really show all the fun stuff. I kind of started with this. We shouldn't show all the fun stuff because, you know, people are going to think, and it's like, no, you know what? They need to see that. Because the reality of is our son-in-law was with us the week before, and he's thinking, you know, oh, we're going to do all the jumping off the falls and the swimming through the caves and going out to the Keys and snorkeling, you know, out with the thing. And that's because all we talk about most of the time is all that fun stuff. And I said, well, David, what you don't understand is this was our job. We did those things whenever we got a chance, which wasn't very often, right? It's because you're involved in ministry, and so those were... Because he was kind of bummed that we spent a lot of time visiting everyone and not swimming all the time. But, you know, that's the way that it is. And so so for you guys, I said, you know what, we need to show this stuff because that's the blessing. Not that there aren't others, obviously, but that you see. And so we don't know yet where this is all going to go. And I'll close with this. They were making fun of me the whole week down there. And I'll close with this. But... what does God have for us as a fellowship? Well, I'll spare you all the details, but the bottom line is we, those of us that were a huge part of this ministry, have sort of been kind of a hands-off approach because after our departure, some things happened, and it sort of went a different direction. And it's so as a fellowship, we weren't sure what to do about that. We tried to straighten all that out repeatedly, but we were not... there was no explanation, so we weren't sure. So for me in particular, and Juan as well, this trip was to really nail this down and say, all right, look, if there's a role for Calvary Chapel Mesquite in the future in Belize, what is it going to be? What's it going to look like? And I think now we have a really good idea. However, we still have to wait a few weeks because there's a meeting that's going to take place and try to determine where that is. But one way or another, we're going to be involved there. So we, you know, they're going to always need help, so we're going to always need people. And that's our prayer with everybody here that shared. You know what? You've heard so many times, step out of your comfort zone. Oh, I could never do that. Yeah, you can. I could never afford that. Yeah, you can. Because if God wants you, there really is money. Do you really think money's an issue? Of course it's not. Ask us. We went to live 5 years down in the dang place. And then God sends us back here with nothing. So when God calls you, those things they're not concerns. Oh, the critters will love you. They will just love you. They like to cuddle. They like to be in your shoes. It's just best to ask them to leave before you put your shoe on. But you can't worry about those things because as if the team shared with you, everybody was a bit apprehensive going, and then when you're there, you're just going, you know what? This isn't so bad. And you want to arm wrestle over the fan? Initially, but after a while, you know, you know what? You take the fan. No, you don't. You fight for the fan. Don't give up. Don't give up because you need the fan. So the point is that there's going to be other opportunity. I can't tell you, none of us can tell you yet what that looks like because we're not really sure. But it's our heart, it's our belief that God still wants us involved down there. To a greater degree, lesser degree, that remains to be seen. But you could see from those faces. And those people love you guys. They don't even know you. But they love you. And you know why they love you? Because of the people you sent. That's why. And because they know you're praying for them. That's why they love you guys. And they're looking forward to meeting the rest of you. So next year, we'll all get on a plane. $25 per person. No, just kidding. But and as many as can go and go down there. And for me, I'm at the point where it's like, you know, let the body go, you know. So anyway, it's just it's very exciting. What a blessing, and was shared from God's word. I love that passage, Sherry, Corinthians. That was awesome. That was just awesome. And so thank God for you guys and for what you did for us, getting us there. And and just continue to pray for Belize. Continue to pray for us as leaders to decide what God would have us do at what point and how much we're to be engaged. Amen. Yes, ma'am. This is a, you can't read that from there.
No.
This is a, well, I should let Liz tell it. You tell Liz. Well, you can, yeah. Here, let me get this ready for you.
No, the school was just so blessed by,
huh? It's pinned.
It's pinned on the thing. Oh. Sorry.
So you can all walk around to it.
The school was so blessed by, you know, the support and prayers that you guys set down by the team. This was just a little of their appreciation. One of the teachers, Miss Zelda, which is Rick and Marie's daughter, put it together, and she went around to all the classrooms in the whole school and had each teacher and each child sign it. So that is a thank you that they wanted to show their appreciation for you guys and the blessing that you guys played, the part you guys played. And then there's also...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is this Rosewood?
Yeah. It's a Rosewood cross.
Yeah. Rosewood?
Rosewood?
Yeah.
It's a Rosewood cross that the... Juliana and Emerson, their picture was at the end with the little boy. They kind of head up the whole mission and the TCA school. They bring down teams. They cook for the teams. They put, you know, they have a lot on their plate. I can't even describe everything they do. They run the school. They run the maintenance, everything. So this was just something they bought for our church, and it says TCA Belize, March 2001 in April. And they wanted to show their appreciation to you guys as well. So they wanted to have this placed in the church from them. So, and they wanted to make sure that we told you guys thank you, and you guys were a blessing to all of them. So, that's it.
Good. What was in the what? Oh, caldo. Juan, that's Juan's thing. Really tough, like leathery, so they boil them up, and that's really the ones they want. They want the females because they love the eggs most. So the eggs are really tough, and so you got to kind of bite, little, and spit it out, and then you squeeze it. Yeah, it's really good. It's good. It's good.
Sure.
Yeah. Very. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. 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 Ron? Everything to come out, which was good in a sense. It's in the rainy season, things come out because the water's raised and stuff. So. Which one? Oh, well, they make holes all over in the school, actually all over the compound. There's like a little tunnel, looks like a little tunnel going to the ground. And we used to just pick a piece of weed or whatever, and you stick it down the hole, and it just, frankly, it irritates them. Yeah, and so they'll latch onto it, and you can pull them out. And, so, you know, there's some pretty big ones down there. But that guy, he wouldn't come out, so I just put the weed in my mouth and walked on about my business. And then Sherry found the little one. I didn't even know where you'd found that at. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because some of them are really, really big. One last story there, and I'll wrap this up. No, just one last story about my wife, because it reminded me, well, because they were saying in the bathroom there in the big house, that house that you saw when we first went down, it's a barn, my wife said. When I said, guess where God is sending us? It's a barn, she said. We lived there, and then Juan and Karen lived there, and that's where we stayed at with the team. But one time, the spider story, because we were talking about this down there, but there's like a wolf spider that's not near as big as a tarantula. But I used to sit in the bathroom at night before I went to bed, and that wolf spider would be out every night. Right there on the counter, right next to the toilet there, and I would just go, hmm. And then I thought, you know what? He ain't bothering nothing. I'm not going to worry about that guy. He's eating bugs and skeeters and stuff, so I just let him go. One morning, I was over in the kitchen, And Marie was in the bathroom, and all of a sudden I hear this, wah! Just comes unglued. I go roaring in there and stuff. And she had been sitting there, and she had the toilet, but and it was on the toilet. And when she pulled the toilet paper around, it just went, fwing, let right in her chest. And took off, and she's all quivery. And I said, what was it? What was it? Because you don't know, is it a snake or what? We had snakes in the house all the time. And she goes, no, it was a big wolf spider. And I'm like, Probably should have chased that spider off. But it only happened once. So, anyway, God bless you guys for sending us the beliefs. Know that you're in their prayers. Keep them in yours. All right, let's stand. Closing with prayer. Oh, well, Father, we are grateful. You know, it's to tell these stories, but what this is ultimately about, it's you. It's you that makes all of this possible. It's you that gives this purpose. And Lord, these people, for those of us now that know, our brothers and sisters in Belize, Lord, what a blessing it is to have spent that time with them, Lord. And I know that there are many here that, you know, not everyone is called to go, and we understand that. So, Lord, we're grateful for those that, if they're not called to go, are called to send. Because without those people as part of the body doing their role, then these kinds of things wouldn't happen. So, Lord, we pray for our Belizean brothers and sisters as today they're going through their thing, and this is their first Sunday without us being there. And it's, you know, it's a hard thing for them because they're, you know, they're back in this, in their grind, and there's, you know, in Belize, there's not a lot of opportunity to do or go anywhere else. And so it's kind of tough on them. But, Lord, we pray that as much as they left their impacts in our hearts, our prayer is that we left the same in theirs. And so thank you for that. And for our brothers and sisters all over this world that we don't even know that are a part of who we are here and what's going on there. And then, Lord, I want to, as we can conclude here this morning, I want to pray for John and Lorraine and the family once again, Lord, for what has taken place there, and just for the promise and the hope that we have to rejoice even in the midst of sorrow. As the verse that Sherry read, Lord, to some, the resurrection and the life of Christ literally stinks. But to others, Lord, it's the fragrance of life. And Lord, we're grateful that we have been able to smell the roses and not any other way around. Thank you for that. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you all honor and glory, Lord, that is due only to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Don't forget now.